All right, welcome back to Coaching Basics Part 2. My name is Steve Elzinga, and we've been trying to figure out how coaching can actually possibly, at appropriate times, be more directive. In the first class, we talked about how it's all non-directive. And we talked about how you do that. You ask a lot of questions. You do a lot of listening. You let the client decide what they want to work on and how they're going to do it, their goals, how quickly they're going to make progress. And you sort of reflect back to them so they can figure that out. But sometimes situations call for a more directive approach, and we've talked about those. And so we've been trying to figure out, well, how do you take a non-directive approach but slightly add a little bit of direction to it? What are the different ways of trying to do that? So in this lecture, we're going to look at making the directive more non-directive by using the discipleship method. The discipleship method. So the question is, well, how did Jesus disciple his disciples? I mean, we might as well follow the pattern that the greatest disciple maker that ever lived. You know, what pattern did Jesus use to disciple his disciples? Number one, he called them. Okay, we have a description in the Bible of how he called each one. In some ways, Jesus established at the very beginning of the relationship, I am the disciple maker, you are the disciple. He then showed them. He invited them to come follow me, the words that Jesus used when he called them. Come follow me, watch me. So Jesus turned water to wine. He did miracles. And the disciples observed all the things that Jesus did. Not only did they observe what Jesus did, but they observed what Jesus said. They were just watchers in a way. But then number three, Jesus didn't just have them observe what he was doing and what he was saying. Jesus actually then taught them. A lot of times in the Bible, we have examples of where Jesus takes them aside. He said something to the crowds, but then they have this little powwow together with the disciples. And the disciples, you know, sometimes would ask a question, and then Jesus would, you know, go into more detail. Jesus spoke in parables many times, and sometimes the disciples didn't get it. Well, oftentimes they didn't get it. So Jesus sat down with them and explained, you know, what he had done and what he had said and why he had done and said these things. Number four, he sent them out to try out what they had been taught and what they had seen. And he did that fairly early in his ministry to them. They saw things, they learned things, and then Jesus didn't hesitate to push them out to try to put into practice what they had seen and what they had heard and what they had been taught. Number five, they came back, all right? And they had another session about, you know, well, how did it go? And they had some problems. So Jesus retaught them in the light of their successes and their failures. Number six, he then sent them out again. Okay, they went out, they bumped into problems, come back, get some more information, more knowledge, more teaching, and then he sends them out to try again. And then finally, number seven, he sent them out to teach others what they had learned. Okay, so this is the pattern that Jesus used to coach / disciple his disciples. So how might this work in your coaching? If you were going to take a more discipleship path, how would you go about it? Well, we would just follow the same pattern that Jesus established with his disciples. Number one, you call your client to the task. You know, that there's something that you're trying to help them do. You establish to the disciple that you are the disciple maker and the client is the disciple. So you call your client to a task. Now, this is an agreed upon task. Maybe the client has sought you out because they want to learn how to be a better leader, let's say. So that's the task. I want to be a better leader. Or they want to learn an instrument, and you know how to play an instrument. So that's the task. You're the one who knows how to do it. They're the one that wants to learn how to do it. Or maybe it's learn how to be a better manager, or be a better parent, or be a better spouse, or be more outgoing. I mean, the task can be almost anything. Whatever a person actually wants to learn and in an area they want to grow in their life, or there's a problem in their life that they want to solve. Number two, show your client what you want them to learn. So now it's, if they want to know leadership, you know, if I was a pastor, I would follow me for a day. See how I do it. Or watch me do a meeting. Or if I was trying to teach someone how to play the guitar, you know, watch what I'm doing. Just observe. Now, most of what they're going to see, they're not going to totally get. They're going to get a little picture of it. Or parenting, you know, or marriage, you know, invite them over to your house and that they can watch and see how you interact. They have to observe and see what's going on in the area that you want to teach them. Number three, teach your client the agreed upon task. So most people can't just observe and learn. I mean, I think people could, but it would take a long, 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 long time. I mean, that's how we learn to speak. We learn a language just by observing and trying, but it takes a long, long time. If we want to accelerate the process, there has to be a little teaching involved. So now I'm going to teach you some of the principles, for example, of leadership. Or let's say it's to be a better parent. All right, so I not only have you observe, but I'm going to teach you certain principles. I'm going to teach you how to teach your kids a responsibility, or teach your kids how to have good judgment, or teach your kids how to have the I can do it attitude. All those kinds of things I've used as an examples in lectures previous to this. So there's a little bit of teaching involved in the task at hand. Number four, send the client out to put into practice what was learned. Okay? Most people, you can show them, you can teach them, and people feel like they sort of have it, but they don't really have it. I remember the first time that I did a sermon. You know, I wrote out my sermon. I was in my room, and I had it down. I felt like, okay, this is going to be really good. And then I went to do it, and I lost my place. I forgot what I was saying. I mean, it didn't go the way I expected it to go. You know, in my little room where I was practicing, it went perfectly. But then when I got in front of people, it was a whole different experience. So often when we observe someone doing something and we're taught how to do something, and then we go out and try it, it doesn't go as easy as we might think it should. So send your client out to put into practice what was learned. If you're teaching them how to parent better, you send them out with a few principles. Okay, this is your assignment. And then they go and they try out these things. But what happens? It doesn't go as they expect. Number five, reteach in the light of the client's experience. So the next session, they come back and they say, well, I tried this and I did this and then I forgot this. And then, you know, then my son, you know, his response with this, and I had no idea what to say. So that's what's going to happen, right? You learn something. It seems fairly straightforward. But when you get out in the real life situation, things don't always go the way you think it should. And then, you know, if you're new to this whole thing, you don't know what to do next. See, but now they do. Now they know what some of the obstacles are. So now you can work on those obstacles. Okay, your son said this. So how might we handle it? Now in sort of the coaching session, we can sort of relax and sit back and sort of look at all the, you know, the things that went wrong and the possible ways we could do it better or, you know, different options. And then what do? We send the client out to put into practice what they've learned. We go try it again. And guess what? They're gonna have more success probably, but they're gonna bump into other problems that they didn't anticipate. And so they'll come back. And that process may go on for quite a while until they get a sense of everything that they've been taught and then how to put it into real life practice. And then finally, and this is probably a key with the discipleship method, challenge the client to coach others. You know, a lot of times we don't fully grasp what we've learned, what we know, until we try to help someone else. Because as we try to help someone else, they're going to try to put into practice what has been taught. And then they're going to come back and say, well, this is the problem that I ran into. And they're going to run into more different problems than you possibly did. And together, as you try to figure this out, your knowledge of the whole thing is going to be expanded. So the discipleship method, there's a reason why Jesus chose the discipleship method to really begin the whole thing we call the church. This was the very beginning. He taught many people, but he poured himself into a discipleship process with these 12 ordinary men. They weren't the top. They were, you know, fishermen, tax collectors, and Jesus poured into them this method, this process. It was a 3-year process, but look what happened because of that. They went on and discipled others, and they went on and discipled others, and then the church exploded all over the world. So it's a powerful method to use in your coaching. Okay, we'll see you again next time.